Welcome to this week's edition of BD Extra. Each week, we bring you insights from industry leaders and the data that you need to navigate in today's dynamic environment. This week is absolutely no exception. We have the infamous Mike Lyon on the line with us from Do You Convert? He's going to talk to us about online sales, lead conversions, and a whole bunch more. That couldn't be a more relevant topic and more impactful topic on the minds of our industry today. But before we get there, we are going to cover our standing agenda item of consumer activity and search traffic. Now, we've been covering this for 9 weeks now. We are in the ninth week of our little special new normal sequence here that we have with COVID-19. And this marks now the fifth week in a row that we have seen traffic and interest in new homes increase week over week. In fact, we passed an amazing milestone this week. We actually now have favorable year-over-year comparisons. So the story has really changed. It's been changed from one of a market meltdown, of a loss in consumer confidence, of a discussion about how deep this industry potentially could go into a contraction, to one that says there are more people looking for new homes now than there were a year ago. So it's no longer an interest story. It's now a traffic story. And you're tuned into the right network because there couldn't be a better person to talk to about converting traffic to sales than Mike Lyon. Mike Lyon is the president and online sales coach at Do You Convert. He's spent over 15 years helping home builders sell homes online, which is awesome because that's how we're doing it these days. With his energetic and entertaining speaking style, he delivers information from the trenches and draws from a diverse background of online sales and marketing. Do You Convert was founded way back in 2009 to help builders develop world-class online sales and marketing programs. And he is the author of the ever-popular book, Browsers to Buyers: Proven Strategies for Selling New Homes Online. So with that, we're going to get started. Mike, welcome to BD Extra.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you.
All right, so we're going to set you up. I'm going to set you up really badly right away. First of all, I'm just going to ask you straight off, are you seeing the same kind of increase in consumer activity and traffic on your end? Because you have such an amazing perspective on this, being out in the trenches, that we see from our end looking at all of our analytics.
So the good news is, we're seeing that same type of lift where it kind of took a little bit of a pause right when all this began. It is moving in a good direction from a, website traffic standpoint. And we're even seeing leads reaching, kind of stabilizing as far as people filling out a form, reaching out, calling, texting, chatting. That's all increasing as well. Now, the question is, like you alluded to at the beginning, where is this stopping? Why is it stopping? And we have some ideas and some thoughts around that, and also some frontline data, because we work with 100+ online sales specialists month over month, and we're hearing both anecdotal stories and qualitative stories around the type of leads that they're getting. So we can definitely talk about that.
Yeah, I have some corroborating evidence for you there. This week was the first week in our 9 weeks, a 9 week special challenge, we'll call it, right? that we've been in, that New Home Source actually is producing the same number of leads that we produced this time last year. And last year was a great year. I mean, we have to remember that. It wasn't like last year was some kind of major downturn that we're recovering from. Last year was the best year that we had had in 12 years. So, It was an amazing year. Builders made a ton of money, and we are back, to that same level of traffic, same level of lead generation. And, before we get to kind of the solutions, are you as surprised as I am? Because I am actually somewhat shocked about the resilience of the American consumer and their interest in all of this kind of chaos and dynamic environment we're within with, historic unemployment and, historic national deficits and all this kind of stuff going on, that the one thing that seems to have rebounded right back to immediate levels is their interest in buying a home.
It is a little bit interesting, but I think there's a couple of things that we've noticed from this, and I can give you some reasons why. The first is, where else are they going to go look for stuff? I mean, what they used to be able to do just, 45 days ago was hop in the car, go drive around, go take a look. Now, some of that same, research and search and education process has to go online, both because either we're sheltering in place or because they just don't feel comfortable getting out. We're seeing some of that energy, that movement going over to the online source, almost in some markets exclusively.
So that's kind of interesting. If I just pause for a second, though, what you're saying is the current environment may simply take the invisible portion of the shopping community that is normally, maybe they're not online, right? Or maybe they're not doing much online, but they're driving around, they're doing other things, you know, in the physical world. It's now all online, so we can see the entirety of the interest pool now.
That's exactly right. It's a little misleading because they're like, well, hey, look, we're getting back to some same levels. I mean, think about just new home source. How many times were people going to the directions page but not completing a form?
Right.
So you have to believe, well, the customer's going to the directions page to figure out how to drive out there. But we don't see it. We can't track it. We don't have that information, right? So I think, like you said, it's becoming more visible. The second part is strictly boredom. I mean, people are going, hey, you know, what else are we going to do? I've been thinking about this. Maybe I'll think about it a little bit more. My wife, we just moved. Tim, we moved, I mean, what, 7-8 months ago? And my wife, as we're walking around the area where we live, she's looking at houses. She says, I'm hearting houses like crazy just in case they go on sale. And I'm like, Dave, we're not moving. What's wrong? what are you doing right now?
Oh, Mike, you know so little about marriage. what you think you're doing has nothing to do with what you'll be doing soon. Okay.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's accurate. That is totally accurate.
I think
the biggest piece of that is just like you said, we are forcing it down to the top of the funnel, and the funnel is more trackable now. So that doesn't mean, I mean, I still am in full agreement. I have a positive outlook on life. The people who want to move, they're going to want to move. And I think home building is in a good spot for that. But also where I think the next conversation that we need to have is like, okay, so what about these leads that are being created? Are they responding? Are they engaging? Are they setting appointments? And ultimately, are they going to sale? And we have some data on that.
Well, what's it tell us? I want to hear about that.
Okay, let's go. So here's what we're seeing. Like I said, we're seeing leads reaching similar levels as we saw, last year around this time. And it's hard to compare year over year because the year is different. And it's also hard to compare week over week because sentiment a week ago, 2 weeks ago was much different. But they're coming back, and we are seeing people setting appointments and virtual appointments, right? They're doing private and they're doing virtual. And we're actually seeing the comfort level there. You know, customers are fine with it. They appreciate the ability to do virtual appointments, and they're giving us positive feedback. But the responses are, okay, now why is the sale stopping? And for many people, is they are just not ready to go. They are concerned about their own job and moving forward and what this means. And if they're going to be furloughed, if they're going to be laid off, what's the security there? And making the big purchase decision, they're saying, hey, I would just like to wait. For the people who have the ability to move forward, they are moving forward. This is as good a time as any, I don't want to say the best, but as good a time as any to purchase if they have to move forward. But a lot of people do not have to make that decision, and some can't even sell their current home. So they are basically getting all the way up till that time where they're ready to make a decision and move forward and saying, okay, when this stuff breaks loose, we'll see where we're at. We'll see how I feel, what the comfort level is with my role, with my job, with my salary, with my spouse, and not spouse specifically. But they're trying to figure all this stuff out, and they're just putting it on hold and not going over the finish line the same as they used to.
So I always talk about this as the difference between sales and order taking, right? If there are no headwinds and everybody that expresses interest simply eventually buys, then you're really not selling anybody. you're simply there administrating orders and making that process as convenient and comfortable as possible. But sales inherently is about overcoming objections. And, you know, let's get the elephant in the center of the room. There are several headwinds. Look, overall, we've got some incredible things in what I call the left-hand column. And the left-hand column is our tailwind, right? We've got tons of consumer interest, which is great. We've got historically low interest rates, which is awesome. We've got a massively declining competition from the used home market because the MLS,
yes,
the number of listings, literally the number of competitors we compete against, has just dropped in half in most places. We have the field to ourselves, right? Which is incredible. So we got all these things over here on the left. And then on top of that, I'd have to say that the prospect of actually going and visiting and doing a tour of a home is much more approachable and comfortable thinking you're going to do it to a new home than it is visiting somebody's used home that they live in. You know,
That's right.
You know, a new home's brand new, and it's cleaned after every viewing. Nobody lives in it. Nobody's ever lived in it. You know, it seems pretty safe versus I'm going into somebody else's house. You don't know what the state of health has been in that home. You don't know if the surfaces have been cleaned. You know, it's just a little unnerving still, I think. So those are all tailwinds for us. What we have is headwinds on the other side, though, is we've got an issue with credit availability, right? As jumbo mortgages are getting a little bit more difficult in certain markets if you're looking for jumbo. If you're looking at the other end of the market, you've got credit scores being elevated, you know, by certain areas. You've got some concerns, I think, around pricing in the market where people aren't sure if prices are going to drop. So they're not sure if now is a good time to buy. You know what I mean? Because the last time we hit a housing crisis, prices dropped dramatically. But that, of course, was a housing crisis, not just a recession. Right. So I think people are wondering, well, should I just wait and will price of houses come down 10-20%? Right. We aren't seeing that in the market, but I think that's playing in people's consciousness. Then, of course, there's job security. And then you mentioned another one. If you're a move up buyer, can I sell my home and what's the market going to be for my home right now? So if you've got those are your four headwinds. And I think those are probably the big four. But if you've got a few more, you know, toss them out. You know, your job is to teach people how to combat those headwinds and get them to overcome them and continue the journey. What's your advice to either management or individual sales counselors in this environment of how do I attack these headwinds? Because if I'm not, then I'm actually not selling. I'm just order taking.
Right. And I think that's the biggest shift that we're seeing right now is really some of the philosophy and sales training and everything that we could use in what we would call a normal market doesn't always apply. And I'm not saying this about you, Tim. I'm just using language that we normally use. When you talk about how do we attack this, how do we combat this, all those things, that language is fine in the time where customers are really just giving us objections mostly and not conditions. Right now, we're dealing with some really serious conditions, and customers are all over the board on where they're at as far as your level of fear, uncertainty, everything that's coming. So what we're just encouraging our sales professionals to do is start with empathy. Anything that you're doing, empathize with that customer. We are all in this together. We're all going through the same thing.
I think the emphasis there, anything that you're doing, and it doesn't have to be sales. How about we just empathize with people?
That's true.
Period. Good idea.
But now, more than ever, it's when someone says, I am concerned about my job as a sales professional, I'm not going to try and make them unconcerned about their job. I don't know their situation. I'd be concerned too. There's 26 million unemployed people out there, and there's probably going to be more.
Did you see the program that Megatel up in Dallas launched, I think, 2 weeks ago? It's a
Tell me about it.
It is an employment security insurance that comes now with their home. So they're a new home builder in Dallas. They have basically just bought an insurance protection that says if you lose your job anytime in the next year, this insurance kicks in and pays your mortgage. So you don't have to worry about losing your job.
And I love that. I've seen a couple builders doing that as well, just a job loss. Clause essentially. So that's a great way to solve it. And the same with the financing. We're seeing interesting tools come along with financing and pre-purchasing even a bank of mortgages, which is not easy to do right now, but to help with the rates and everything. So there's definitely tools to use for sure, strategically. But from what you're saying and how you really got to just help a customer and understand a customer and say, is this truly an objection or a condition? Conditions are extremely hard to get past. You really can't. Objections, there are things that you can help to turn around an objection. Like an objection that we hear all the time right now is, what kind of deals do you have? Or what's the pricing going to be like? We're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen out there.
Yep.
The way we handle that objection is very easy. We go, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm hunting for deals too. I mean, it's a great time. A lot of things are going on sale, which is awesome. However, right now, we are not actually there yet. We've sold this many homes over the past 2 weeks. We see a lot of people that are in the market for people ready to move forward. Now is actually really an opportune time for you because there's some availability, but we're not to a place where we're going to be doing discounts. However, I can always keep you posted.
Yep. So,
if anything like that happens.
You go back and look at the data from 2007 and 8, though. While used homes dropped significantly in value, I mean, look, there's, you know, stories of, you know, tens of thousands of homes being sold 50 cents on the dollar and, you know, on and on. And you know, that's how a lot of the hedge funds and REITs got into the single family for rent business, as they picked up all these homes at significant discounts.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, in the new home side of the market, those discounts generally didn't happen. The price of new homes did not drop very much during that time. If you remember, what happened is when they dropped, it was because builders reconfigured the home. They took out granite, they got rid of the crown molding, they dropped the appliances down to a lower spec grade, right? You know, they took out some of the features.
Yeah, and you had to bring your own toilet, right?
So what happens is it's a $325,000 home and the market's really tough. So they suddenly made it a $299,000 home, but it's because they took $25,000 of content out of the home.
Right.
And if you really look at it, new homes don't really ever go on discount, because that means builders would actually be building at a loss, and builders don't build at a loss. So I think there's a way almost to address this head on with people that says builders aren't going to build homes at a loss. If you want a new home, you're pretty secure in what you're going to pay for it.
I think that's a really good point. And also just even what's happening right now, where they're hearing stories of stuff going on sale from used homes. Listen, a customer who bought a home right and has $200,000 in a house that's selling a used home and has to move would be willing to take a $100,000 profit or a $50,000 profit if they have to move. That is completely different than the world of building something brand new, where the only thing driving up price in most of the situation is the land cost and labor and material.
Which don't fall. Generally don't go down, right? So, yeah.
It just don't.
I mean, they didn't go down. But, I mean, think about that. Land didn't even go down significantly during the housing crisis.
So here's what we got to do, Tim, and this is the hard part. Take this little 3-minute conversation that we just had and turn it into a soundbite that every customer can understand.
Exactly.
Some people care, some people don't.
Yep.
And some people just want a discount and they're going to wait.
And I think,
can't get past that.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is if you could have that 3-minute soundbite on pricing to make sure that they're confident that the price they pay today, that they're getting a reasonable value for that price, and that they're not in jeopardy of losing substantial amount of their equity if they buy a home. If there's a conversation around job security, if there's a conversation around credit availability, if there's a conversation, if they're move-up buyers, about how we can help them sell their home, then I think you can get them across the line. If we're silent on all four of those, well, then you got a problem. We have tremendous interest combined with tremendous angst, which leaves the customer frozen in the middle of a transaction.
I think you're right, and I like the idea of using tools for each one of those. There's creative and unique things that builders can do to use tools to help get past a condition and remove the condition. Even pricing.
Yeah.
Hey, in 30 days if the pricing changes, we'll change it for you.
Exactly. Done. Then you got price assurance. Oh, awesome. I got price assurance. I got job assurance. I'm done. This is easy. In fact, what happens then, Mike, is you've made buying a new home so much more risk-free than buying a used home. It even further differentiates why everybody should be buying a new home.
I love it. It's great.
So, you know, the other thing is you started with empathy, and by beginning the conversation and really trying to have empathy with the customer and understand, what you're going to find is that every customer won't have all four of these issues. Some customers will be very comfortable with their job security, but worried about price. Some customers are first-time buyers, so they don't care about selling a used home, right? So it's not important at all. So if you can use empathy to really ferret out what's important here, what obstacles are preventing this person from getting the next step, and then you have that script that you can really, you know, the 3-minute really easily understood script that you can communicate to them. I think that this market right now for a builder, you know, to me, the advice I've given CEOs is you should be holding your staffs to the same profitability as what you operated to last year. As a bare minimum. No builder today should be looking at their operations going, well, I guess we're not going to have as good a year as we did last year. I believe we should have just as good an opportunity to have an equal or if not better year this year than we did last year because of the tremendous interest that we're seeing in consumers and the lack of competition from used homes. We should be able to pull this through if we have the scripts to sell against.
Well, I agree, and I'm going to offer a little bit of a counterpoint. I'm going to give a big old fat but, or an if, maybe it's an if. As long as the people who wanted to sell to move can. I mean, that could be the one thing that slows this down just a little bit.
Yeah.
And who knows what the next 90 days will show us. But yeah, I'm in complete agreement. I think we are faring better now, right now in this current time frame, in the last 45 days, because one, we had good fundamentals and a lot of things working for us. We have safe and clean homes to show. Realtors were shutting down their business and not willing to go even show occupied home. And we were making it easy. And the inventory that is out there, people are interested in looking at it. So as long as all that stuff lines up, we're going to sell through the people who want to purchase. What I'm really paying close attention to and just talking with all of our different builders that we have all over the country is, how do we feel like the market is doing in your market? Because every market is just a little bit different.
No question.
Some are, you know, even from Houston to Dallas, you're going to see
you got oil,
some different things happening.
Because you got to transition from oil patch issues to high tech.
Right.
Right.
So, yes, I'm with you. I think don't look at this and go, oh, it's COVID. It was 2020. Remember, and don't let that take you out of the game. Be smart. Be conservative. Do the right things. But also, you can still sell through this.
Yep. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. So let's say I had a room full of of builders here, you know, CMOs, better not, forget that. Let's say I had a group of division vice presidents and owners here that are nervous about what their prospects are going to be. But I'm going to say, oh, yeah, but Mike Lyon, he's going to give you three simple steps, you know, or five simple steps, right, to move your organization forward and have a better year this year than you had last year. What would some of those three, four, or five steps be that you think are absolutely critical that every builder takes right now in order to be able to take advantage of the current environment?
Oh, I wasn't ready for that one, but let me think through this for just a second. Because
you're ready for everything. Are you kidding? You're the one man in the industry I know is ready for anything.
Well, I want to give some advice. I don't want to come across as being too dogmatic in an area either, but here's the first thing I would say. Hey, everybody, remember when we talked about technology and online tools? And virtual stuff, we've been talking about it for 10 years. Yeah, this isn't a joke. It's really, you really need this stuff. You know, this has forced us to do a lot of things in a short period of time. But I would say you can still embrace this and move this needle forward. So don't let the reopening of the economy slow that down. Keep it going. So embrace the technology.
So in that, elaborate a little bit. What do you think some of the most important tools are in the journey? And obviously there's tons of them and it'd be possible to cover all, but you know, from your experience, what do you think some of those key things are that they kind of just have to have, or they really should, you know, contemplate at least having in that journey?
Yeah. Three different areas specifically. One is just, what is public facing to your customers? So your website and the content on your website through virtual everything. You guys have heard it ad nauseum through all the webinars and training, but the ability for the customer to experience your product without being in front of the product. So that's the first thing.
And we'll just call that the we're open sign.
That's right.
Because
think of car dealers, think of your car that you're going to buy, everything that a car dealer has, have that for your home. Yep. Basically, that's the shortest way to explain that.
All right. Next.
The second thing. Yeah. Second thing is what happens when someone becomes a lead. So having the tools to effectively manage that lead, that prospect, that customer expresses interest. You've got to have both the person, you know, the online sales specialist, the tools where the leads live, and the communication tools that go along with it, right? So the ways that the customer want to communicate, you got to have those tools. And the final thing is leveraging your face, you know, your video communication, whether it's asynchronous or synchronous, yes, the Zoom, yes, the Facebook, you know, apps, yes, Skype, whatever you want it to be, that's great. And temporarily, that's going to be great. But even just video, email, and how you're communicating with customers so they can see yourself, and you can also do some showing and telling when they're not face-to-face. Because even pre-COVID, they weren't spending that much time in the model. Maybe a few hours.
Yep.
They weren't spending that much time in the design studio.
And they were spending
maybe a few hours.
And they were spending months online with your content.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 10 to 20 times the amount that they're spending online, but we were kind of ignoring that little secret audience that we couldn't get our heads around. And so those are the things that you have to do to thrive through these challenging conditions, and it'll serve you well when we come out of this.
So that's kind of interesting. You're really saying kind of put a little bit of the personal touch on the virtual sell.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Personalization is key. That's what we've been promoting in all of our follow-up. We don't want to over-automate anything. Technology is great, but in a purchase that's the highest price purchase that anybody's ever going to make, they want a trusted advisor along the side of them, not just, you know, overly scripted drip campaigns and, you know, marketing emails and marketing videos. Those are all, they have their place. But when the customer is engage with a real person, and anything that you can do to prove that I'm real helps them make a better connection with you, the community, and the builder.
And other than hiring Do You Convert, which obviously they're going to do anyway, especially after this podcast, what should their messaging and what should they do for their online sales specialists?
What do you mean specifically? Like, how should online sales specialists manage a lead?
Just kind of like, you know, what kind of new coaching, counseling, direction, guidance, training, scripting, whatever, you know, obviously it's all the basics that have been around forever, but is there something new that they need to consider and go, boy, we need to go do X, Y, and Z with our online sales specialist right now, you know?
Well, we've heard this a lot, and even our customers and clients have been asking us, like, hey, what do we need to be doing right now from an online sales perspective? What do we need to change? How do we need to adjust? And we really looked at everything and have been paying close attention to this, both from a consumer and customer perspective, as well as are we staying in front of everything? And the interesting thing is not much needs to change. Before, we were focusing on the customer, on the customer journey, increasing personalization, making sure that we were fast and responsive, making sure we were diligent in our follow-up, and leveraging video tools as much as possible to be face-to-face when we're not in the same space. All that is the exact same thing that we're doing now. We just got to layer in, hey, they may be really worried about getting sick, and so let's kind of pay close attention to just where they're at. With all those tools, we've been pushing that. And so there's not much that needs to change, but a lot of builders, the challenge was they never set this up before. It wasn't set up right. They were trying to over automate. They were trying to rely too much on tech and not enough on marrying the person. And so they over indexed too far in one direction or not at all. They were just sending out the salespeople, which is not always the best thing to do when a lead isn't ready to go.
So if I was going to summarize, you know, without saying I told you so, which is, you know, to a certain extent how this could come across, right? Look, we've been, as an industry, dealing with digital transformation now for almost 20 years. And, you know, there's been a pretty, succinct, well-chorused, reinforced by many people in the industry, discussion around digital selling, online selling. You know, you mentioned websites, you mentioned the tools, you mentioned training the people, working leads effectively, putting your face on messages, making things personal, leading with empathy. You know, as you said, this isn't new advice that somehow we generated in the last 9 months. This is stuff that has been out there for years. So what you're really saying is kind of stick to the basics. Take a look at that digital transformation roadmap that has been out there now for several years, and just make sure that you've actually implemented best practices. And by sticking to these basics, that we'll be able to convert these buyers that are in the market today, we'll be able to sell homes, and our P&L should look pretty much as good as it did last year, unless something comes up unexpectedly at this point and changes the situation once again.
Yeah, and I'll give you two very specific examples. One is video email. This is a tool that we've been talking about since 2008. And there's a tremendous amount of discomfort around having to put my face on video. And as the market was improving and growing and getting better, even though a lot of salespeople and online salespeople could do it, they didn't have to do it. We had so many leads and so many customers and setting so many appointments, specifically in the past 4 months leading up to COVID, that you could cheat. You didn't have to do it. You could record one video email template that was good enough. Well, fast forward to COVID where we have no other options. And surprisingly, most salespeople and online salespeople are getting comfortable with being on video because there is no other option. If you don't do this, you will not have a job. And so,
well, maybe it's all the celebrities and nighttime TV hosts that we see now without makeup in their basement that makes us feel better about ourselves.
I tell you what, I feel really good about my setup. I see some of these people at home, I'm like, I've got it better than John Krasinski. This is pretty good.
I was just saying, it may all just give us a little bit of confidence to put ourselves out there when you go, you know, if all these other celebrities in the world who make their career off of their face and their persona can do it, I guess I can too.
And that's what we've been telling people who are afraid. We say you don't have to be afraid. We look at authenticity over perfection. That's something that Jen Barkin, our online sales coach, teaches her online salespeople all the time. Don't get hung up on it being perfect. People want authenticity.
Yep.
And we've seen that come out here. So
I think that's kind of a message and a lesson from social media, where social media started with, you know, we were going to produce content and spend a lot of, and not that there isn't a place for that, but so much of it is they just want authentic content. They want to see it rough. They want to see it a little out of focus, a little shaky, a little this and that, because they know then it's real.
Yeah, totally. And the second part too is thinking about just virtual selling. You know, we know builders, especially in some markets, like for example, a builder that is heavy relocation military market. Even virtual selling for
25
years.
Yep. When we started NHS, Mike, there's a story where the very first year, I remember we got word that we sold a home 100% virtually. It was a soldier's family that was based in Germany, coming back to San Antonio. And the builder talked about that. They had found the home on New Home Source. This is 20 years ago. They had found the home on New Home Source.
Right.
Now, back then, they did it with faxes, you know, and all kinds of other technologies. But the reality is we've been selling homes virtually for a long time. There's just better technology to be able to do it now.
Right. And when the builder's in control, we can have them go through our process and people will jump through hoops. When it's a little bit harder, we got to figure out how can we make this as frictionless as possible. And I mean, when I was in online sales in 2006, I sold a home to a guy who was on a submarine. Like, he had to wait to send his emails when he popped up out of the water.
You gotta love
and
that.
And so this has been happening for a long time. Now I think customers are going to be like, hey, I want the option. Now, do I think that virtual selling is going to replace in-person? Absolutely not. If someone has a choice and they're in close proximity to the home and the community they're going to purchase in, everybody's going to go out and visit. But all of the stuff that's happening in between the lines, in between the margins, before and after, can be virtual. You don't have to keep driving out to a community every single time. So I think we're going to see some shifts and changes in what consumers are wanting. And that technology is going to serve us when we come out of this. But it's also not like all of a sudden everybody's going to be in online sales and there's not going to be any on-site sales. That's not going to happen either.
Yep. There are some stunning statistics. I know Redfin did a study in 2017 that over 40% of millennials had put an offer in on a home without visiting it in 2017. This is not just new homes. This is used homes as well. But it was kind of a stunning and shocking statistic back then. And I think what we're just beginning to understand is that we're being trained in so many other verticals like automobiles and everything else that we buy, that this can be a normal way to approach a substantial purchase, that I think there's kind of going to be a new normal that comes out of this, where we're going to appreciate the ability to provide much more of the entire sales journey online than we have ever done before, which will be able to make us rethink some of our capital spending and what our return on capital assets are. I think it could really restructure some of the profitability within our industry as well.
Absolutely. Gone are the days of five different model homes down the street and the salespeople manning every single one. We just don't have to do that anymore.
So, Mike, this has been a fun and wild ride, and I'm sure our audience has appreciated every word that you have said. But if you had one last kind of thought to leave with our audience about navigating, you know, through this kind of crazy environment that we're in right now, what would that parting comment be?
You know, I think I would like to say to everybody listening to this, adaptability is key, and you will survive if you find another gear. I mean, you've been going on one speed in one gear for the longest time, and the market was the way that it was, but now this is a new market, and it requires a new gear and potentially even a new speed to get through this. So if you can adapt and make it through this, you're going to come out stronger. And I just would encourage you. I went through the downturn. I started this, my business in 2009, which was peak downturn. And it just requires a different type of work. So it does get better and this will improve, but you'll have to change in the meantime. So I just want to encourage everybody to get out there and do it. And hey, they're the heroes out there on the front line making this happen. So we really appreciate what all the builders are doing.
Well, Mike, thanks for being so generous with your time and insightful in your comments. I'm sure our audience learned a lot. And for you out there listening, tune in next week and we'll have another edition of BD Extra coming your way. So thanks for everything and we'll see you next week.